studying yesterday and Friday, the Lord really put on my heart that He wanted to show us how much thought He put into creating mankind and creating creation. So we'll go over what the process that God the Father went through when He was preparing before He did a creation. Sometimes as humans or mankind, we just do things, but the Father is not that way. He puts thought and plans in there, and we'll go through those together, honey. Can we? Your eyes saw my unformed substance. What that means in the Hebrew, that means that before He even brought you together, or before He even brought Adam together, He saw the unformed substance. He saw the things and planned the things He would use to create a man. And so like you, I think I'm going to pour a concrete walk out here in front of my house. Do I want to connect to the driveway so people can walk off the driveway? Or do I just want to come off the street up to the house? And do I want to have another wire and make it go to the driveway as well as to the front door? You know, see, the Father was like that. He decided what He wanted to put in man, how He wanted man to be, right? Look at this. And in your book, all the days of my life were written before ever they took shape. So that means before a day was made. We know the sun and the moon were created on the fifth day of creation. So before there was ever a day, in our time, in our age, God made you and wrote those things in His book in heaven. So there's a book in heaven that's written about you. All those thoughts that God had about you, they're written in heaven. And the Holy Spirit is here on the earth now, taking what's written in that book, and He's leading you and guiding you and building you into that plan God had for you before creation of the earth and creation as we know it. He did all that beforehand. And I like this. The word "you" means God planned me, John. He planned me. He planned Marvina. He planned Elizabeth. He planned brother. Each one of those back there, He planned you. He even planned the words you would say in your lifetime. And He even planned the thoughts you should think before you became born. Isn't that powerful? And the point of this is, that's how much God thought of you. That's how much He cares about you. That's how much He loves you. He planned you out perfectly with no sin. He planned you out perfectly with no failure, that you would be His perfect son. And because God is a spirit, you have a spirit. And because God thinks and has a conscience, you have a conscience. Because God judges, you can judge circumstances. See, you're made in His image. Isn't that powerful? When an angel is ministering to you, he is not allowed to minister to you outside what's written in the book. Because he's not allowed to have any thoughts about you. The angel that's assigned to you is not allowed to have any outside thoughts. He's only allowed to think what God has planned for you. Let's go forward, Vanna. I want to watch this. Wow. How precious and weighty also are your thoughts to me, O God. How vast are the sums of them. See, I was telling you that God had thoughts. And all the thoughts He had about you before the creation was even started, before Genesis, God wrote all those down in a book. See, creation is not just an afterthought. I'm not just an afterthought of God. Oh, I think I'd like to have a John. I think I'd like to have Elizabeth and Marvina. And No, you were planned before creation even started. I'm a computer programmer. When I want that computer to do something, I have to write that detailed program out exactly what I want that computer to do. It don't think by itself. I have to write all that code out. Sometimes hundreds and hundreds of pages. I have to write all of that out. It's not hard. It's like anything else. Once you're trained in something, it's natural to you. So it's not hard. But the point is, when I see that, I see God writing all the program about us out detail, line by line, my life. I was born to my parents. It's T.A. and Joy Beard. Wasn't no accident. It was God's plan. The same things that happened in my life was not God's plan, but he saw me through, right? But see, I want you to realize that God thinks about you. He has thoughts about you. You're important to him. You're not just going through life. Nobody even cares about me. No, God cares so much. Before the foundation of creation, he wrote down in a book about you. Amen? Praise God. Let's go on further. I get on further. For those who he foreknew. See, before creation, in the book of Genesis, creation begins, let there be light. Before God said, let there be light, he planned you out. He planned me out and wrote it in the book of heaven. So he foreknew you. This is talking about all the things he wrote in his book in heaven. Those who he wrote in his book in heaven, that's who it's talking about. Whom he was aware and loved beforehand. See, I'm telling you, he loved me before he even started creation. Beforehand. Before creation, he wrote you down in his book in heaven who you were going to be. And he loved you then. That's why it was no surprise in heaven and Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Or Father, Father, Word, and the Holy Spirit, they know what is in that book. And they loved you before creation was even started. Before light was said, light, let there be light, was said. Does God love you? Yes. Yes, he loves you. And it began when he wrote you down in his book. When Adam and Eve sinned, God said, son, you got to take on yourself flesh and go into the earth and redeem my love, mankind. Loved before. He loved you when he was thinking about you and before creation was started. He loved you. And he sent Jesus to bring you back to what is written in that book. Amen. See, man fell. Man died. Sin came. Death came. And God said, no. I planned in my book before creation, and that's what I'm going to have. That's my will. That's my purpose for mankind. So he sent Jesus here to die and buy or redeem man back. He also destined them from the beginning for ordaining them. See, he made a plan for you or ordained a plan for your life. That's what mankind is struggling with. They don't know what that plan is. They feel like life is meaningless. I get up in the morning, I eat breakfast, I eat lunch, I eat supper, and I go to bed at night. See, that's because you don't know God's plan for you. I'm not being mean, but that's a fact. You were created in his image, and you desire to know. You desire to understand. That's inside of you. That's your makeup. You cannot change that. That's the way you are. Just say, I receive it. Lord, help me find what you chose for me. Help me find what you made me and planned for me to be. And where you're seeking first the kingdom of God and his right standing or what he wrote down in that book about you, then you will be happy, because in that is the joy of that quest of finding out who you are, what God planned you to be, in that quest brings joy, brings happiness, brings satisfaction into your life. To be molded to the image of His Son. What's written in that book, what He planned for before the foundation of the world, is for you to be like Jesus is right now. As He is in this world, we are. As He is in heaven, we are in this world. Amen? What? We're in the image of His Son, Jesus. We're born again. We're born in the image of Jesus. Back to the Garden of Eden, when God said, I will make man in my image. He took and raised Jesus from the dead and made Jesus in His image and set Him at His right hand. Amen? He couldn't set Him at His right hand if He wasn't in the image of the Father. But Jesus is the image of the Father. He can sit at God's right hand. Oh, guess what? I'm in His, I'm in Jesus' image, which is the image of the Father. God's plan. I'll make man in my image and my likeness. It's back to the book. It's back to the original. He made you and I. When we're born again, we are in the image of the Father and the Son. God molded into His image of His Son and share inwardly His likeness. Who you like? You like Jesus. In here, when your spirit was recreated, or when you were born again, you were born on a new creation, your spirit is in the image of Jesus. Your spirit is just like Him. See, in the image of His Son. Back to the book of Genesis. God said, I will make man in my image and my what? Likeness. He's back to His plan. He's to always plan for you and I to be in His image. Isn't that good? That is really good. So I know what will the Holy Spirit do in my life. He will keep working with me and correcting and renewing and changing me to be more like Jesus, His Son. So I know what my destiny is, to be like Jesus. That's my destiny. That's God's plan for my life. That's God's plan for your life. That's your destiny. And that will be the only thing that make you feel complete when you begin to seek that first the kingdom of God, the plan of the kingdom of God, which is to make you in the image of Jesus Christ. You got to start. Now you got to have your mind renewed and your body glorified. Amen. That He might become the firstborn among many brethren. That they're again confirming. Jesus was born from the dead. He died. He was made sin with my sin. And He was crucified, right? Made sin. And then He died. He went to the belly of the earth and received my judgment. And after that was completed in 3 days and three nights, God raised Him from the dead. Or He was born from the dead and was, see, when He was dead, made to be sin, He couldn't go into heaven. He was made sin. So God had to raise Him from dead. He became born, the firstborn from the dead. Why was he born from the dead? Because you and I were dead in sin. God had to have a new category to put us in. So God raised Jesus from the dead. He's the firstborn from dead among many brethren. So when God raised Jesus from the dead and set Him at the right hand, God created a new species of man. A man born from sin and death back to life and bent back to being His Son. Then that created a new category. Dead to sin, raised back to life, sitting at the right hand of God. That's a new species of man. So now you and I can confess Jesus as Lord, and we can be born into that new species. So we are children of God. Those whom He thus ordained, right? Foreordained. Notice the word for. That means I planned to ordain you to be like my Son Jesus. That's my plan for mankind. to look like, be like Jesus. Now, we're talking about the resurrection Lord, okay? Who has a glorified body, has a new mind, and a perfect spirit. Created in the image of Father. Wow. He is also called. See, preachers are not the only ones called. You are called to be in the kingdom of God and be God's son. And what, be waiting for the Holy Spirit to tell me how deep he wants to go into this. He created us in the image of his son Jesus. We're in the kingdom of God. The Bible says we're in the kingdom of his beloved son. Meaning we come into his kingdom because we're a new species of being. We're a new man. We're a new creation. We're in that kingdom. Okay? Now, that was ordained by God. That was his plan, his desire that he wants you to be like Jesus. Amen? His son. Now, you are called to that. I mean, God stands here and says, come, John. This is my plan for you. Come here. Come here. Now you've got to confess Jesus as Lord. I want to put you in my kingdom over here. That's my plan for you. That's where I want you forever. That's where I want you. Will you accept Jesus as the Lord? No, I don't accept that. I want you in my kingdom. Now, you need to choose Jesus. You're going to die and go to an eternal death. You will be separated from him forever. You sinner, you've got to ask my son Jesus. He shed his blood to cleanse you. I am a failure in life. So I confess Jesus Christ as the Lord. God moves him over here. But see, I was foreordained to be in this new kingdom. I was foreordained. I was called to be like the Father. I was called to be like, see, it's true, I'm called to be a minister in the gospel of Jesus Christ, but we're all called in the family of God. God called us to, and then he sends us out to preach the gospel. Because God died for the whole world, or Jesus died for the whole world. The salvation of every man and woman, amen? I'm just a little big country bumpkin. How can I be in that kingdom of perfect men and women of God? I failed. I sinned. I did things wrong. I wasn't a straight A school in school. I wasn't a straight A student in college. It wasn't straight about me. I was just a nice guy. How can I be a king and priest over here in the kingdom of his beloved son? He justified me. He justified me to be there. I can be in this kingdom and operate as I've never sinned. And never will sin again. I can operate in the kingdom that way because God justified me. My works don't justify me. What I do don't justify me. Mankind think I have to do certain works and think a certain way to be justified to them. But guess what? God said, I justify you, John. You're accepted in the beloved. And that's all I need. Because he's the boss. See, people are always trying to be your God. Well, I don't think you ought to do that. Well, God told me to do it. Are you my God? No. Well, what are you trying to tell me? He told me it's wrong, and you're saying it's right. Well, a lot of people say, I understand that. But you can look at a person's life and say, do they serve God all the time? You can look at it and see. I think Jesus says you'll know them by their fruit. Okay, right. Putting them to right standing to himself. And God, you're in right standing to himself. So in other words, when he created this here, he justified me to him. We have to determine what's more important, if people justify you or if he justifies you. Amen. Right? And those who he justified, he what? So God glorified you. You didn't do it. We cannot receive anything from God's plan based on our works, what we have done. And I see so many ministers get caught up in that. They think that we had a great move of the church. Why did it happen, Pastor John? Because it was God's plan. That's what happened. And we opened the door to the church so he could come in and work his plan. Amen. But the people, well, it's because I study all the time reading it happen. See that pride? We can't get caught up with that. Well, Elizabeth, oh, we're so blessed to have her as a teacher in the church. Magnificent teacher of the Word of God. Sometimes I say, Father, let me sit and let her teach. She has a magnificent ministry of teaching, but he won't let me. He called me. I was satisfied. I was living out in the country. I had just built a brand new house. I had all the land, raising cattle, just having a country-bucking time. You know, working and plowing the field and raising cattle and doing all that kind of thing. And God come to my house and said, I've called you. I mean, Jesus actually came into my house and said, I've called you to be apostle of love. That's why. So he called me. I don't have no choice now. I choose to love him, serve him, because I love him, right? So I'm saying we all are called out to something in the works of the kingdom of God. Amen? Now look, he said, he glorified me. Would you read that? That's so powerful.
He glorified, raising them to a heavenly dignity and condition or state of being. I've been raised to a heavenly dignity.
Do you get that? God, when he raised you up in heaven, you're a dignified person. In heaven. Isn't that powerful what it is? So in heaven, when your name is spoken, the angels bow their head because you're a king in the kingdom of God. In Revelation, it says, Jesus is the Lord of lords and the King of kings. Amen. So in heaven is royalty. And that's when you say something that's a promise of God or say something that's God's will, the angels do it like that. Just start working on it right then because they know your dignity in heaven. Brothers and sisters, I apologize, but a lot of churches just something that is not true. You're not no old, dirty, no good, trash. Sinner, that's what you used to be. You're now a child of the living God by both, by being born again. We have a lot to learn to live like a child of God. We have a lot to learn. But still, just because a child is born, a baby is born in a family, and I say, oh, you're no good because you're not changing your diaper and you're not making your own milk. No. We know where they are. We know one day we'll have to say, it's time for you to move on. Right? My point is, God knows we're babies and we've got a lot to learn in his kingdom, and he treats us that way. It says, desire sincere milk of the word, meaning God knows that we're babies in the kingdom and he supplies milk for our spirit in his word. Amen. But also the meat in the word. So as you grow from the milk and you move to the meat, and God expects more of us. Amen. So God's plan was to raise you up and set you in his son, Christ Jesus, at his right hand. See, God's family rules with him. You got it, didn't you? We reign in life through one man, Jesus Christ. See, we're born in the church, in the family of the beloved, his son. In Jesus' kingdom, it's called the kingdom of his beloved. And inside the kingdom, it rules everything. All creation, it rules. And we're in that kingdom. I like this state of being. Sometimes I might not act like it, but I still have that status in heaven. I'm glorified. Amen. And one day, we'll all receive our glorified body. Are you ready? I believe I might get an amen. Are you ready? in whom you also have in him you also who have heard the word of truth. How did you learn about your salvation? That God was offering forgiveness of sin through his son's blood. But someone was preaching the word's truth. Amen. When you heard that word, faith came. And when faith came, you received it, and then you confessed Jesus as the Lord and Savior. See, the word of truth, the glad tidings of the gospel, you were glad because you realized you were a sinner, you realized you were a failure, you realized that all the great things you thought were great were not great in the eyes of your Creator. You said, I'm a mess. I'm a sinner. I see how I fail, right? You see, but God says the word, and you heard the glad tidings that God loves you, that God wants you, God will forgive you, and proved it by sending his son and shedding his blood and dying and going to the belly of the earth and bearing your punishment and raising him back from the dead. Amen. And so you saw that and you believed it and you confessed him as Jesus and you were born again into his kingdom of his beloved son. And God said, they need a guarantee that they're my family. They're born in the family of God. That they're my children. And I love them. They need a guarantee because then I haven't received everything. I don't have my glorified body, but I'm called to it. I'm going to obtain one day I will have my glorified body. And I don't have my perfect mind yet. So I need proof. And so God said, I will seal them with my Holy Spirit. So God gave you the Holy Spirit as a guarantee. You're my child. You're saved. And if you leave this body right now, you've been in heaven with me. He's your guarantee. Amen. And you all understand the guarantee. You bought cars. You bought houses. You bought all kind of equipment. Amen. And they have a guarantee. But this is a permanent guarantee. The Holy Spirit will be with you forever. He will never leave you. This is a perfect. Some translations don't point to that. Look, we're stamped with the Holy Spirit. Now, if you could see your born again spirit right now, you have a seal that's right. Actually, it's on the right side. It's right here on top of your forehead. So every spirit that see you, I'm talking about at your born again. A person not saved, a sinner not saved, do not have this. But once a person is born again, they have a seal right here on this side of their, not this physical body, but your spirit man has a seal right here on the side, and it's gold. How do you know? God operates a gift of the discernment of spirits, and many times he'll just open my eyes and I can see a person's spirit, and you'll always see that seal on somebody that's born again. It's always there. And men, so I'm just, it don't matter if I said what I said, it said God sealed you. So that means that every spirit, every demon, every angel knows you're a child of God or you're not by that seal. Amen. So that Holy Spirit puts his mark on you and it's always there. Praise God. That's your guarantee that you're saved. That's your guarantee that you're going into the kingdom of God forever. Amen. What's also good, the Holy Spirit is your teacher. He teaches you. Amen.